Good morning. How are you doing? Hope you're having a good day and a good time worshiping with us this morning. I am excited to announce that, God willing, this is the last Sunday that we will be worshiping quite like this, broadcasting pre-recorded songs, and so we have a few in the auditorium, but essentially, you know, preaching to a camera and you're worshiping to a screen. And so, God willing, and the plan is next Sunday that we'll be able to open in our main auditorium and have a number of you in person. And so, hoping that will be a blessing to everyone, whether you're able to come in person or still worshiping from home. We think and hope that'll be a blessing. So, more details about that, but I could not wait to tell you. I know a number of you have been so anxious to get back into in-person worship, and so that's a good thing. That's a good thing that we really, really miss it. So look forward to next Sunday. We have 156 devices tuned in right now from states like Texas, Iowa, Kansas, Arkansas, Saskatchewan, Canada, and an unknown state. So glad that you are all with us wherever you are. Today's lesson is titled Game Plan. And if you watch much sports, you will hear sometimes folks, commentators talking. Excuse me just a second, a little technical difficulty. It is on. I've been asked if it's on. That is an excellent question. That's no joke. Is it on? Yes, it is on. Yeah, I can try that. Thank you. And the next step, and any 10-year-old, hold on. There we go. All right, we're up and running. The next step would be to unplug the batteries and plug them back in. And I was going to say any 10-year-old can tell you that from playing Xbox. Okay, game plan. So if you watch sports at all, you'll hear commentators talking sometimes about the coach had a good game plan. If you're a casual sports watcher, you may not think much about that, but when games are played, especially on the higher levels, teams really strategize during the week. What can we do during the game? How can we go about this game, and what plays can we run that will be effective against this opponent? So today's sermon, I want you to kind of gear your mind toward, as a Christian, what is our game plan? Because as Christians, we don't just say, well, I'm gonna worship God on Sunday and try to be good the rest of the days, and that sounds pretty good. That's not going to get it. And so I just have two scriptures for us this morning. Romans 12, and this was our scripture reading. Romans chapter 12, 11 and 12, just two verses. This is a great place in Scripture to find a very concise game plan for Christians. So verse 11 says, "Do not be slothful in zeal, be fervent in spirit, serve the Lord. Rejoice in hope, be patient in tribulation, be constant in prayer." And so today we will spend our time today, and I know I've referenced these recently in sermons, but they're so helpful for us, I think, right now in our world and what we're going through. This past year has been a year unlike one that we have had in recent memory. And I've even asked some old-timers, you know, if they remember a year worse than this one. And I'm not saying any names, but as you know, Mr. Hess is in the room. But it's been a crazy past 12 months. And so let's just start out with this first part. Do not be slothful in zeal. When I was in college, my first job in college, I worked at Walmart in Edmond, and which was a big deal for me because coming from a small town like Shakota, I think the Shakota Walmart had, in my memory, had four checkout spots, and it probably had six or eight, but in my mind, not very many at all. And I walked in that Walmart in Edmond, and it had well over 20 checkout lanes. And to me, that was just, I mean, this is big. So, that was my first job in college as a freshman, and I had just turned 18. And so my job was a stockman, And so we would do a number of things. We'd bring in carts from outside. We would stock miscellaneous items. And so another stockman there who was about my age, a little bit younger actually, And so we worked together a lot, and there would be different things that we would do. And really, the point is, I have to confess, oftentimes we were enjoying ourselves a lot more and working a lot less. And so we'd gather carts, and we'd have a little too much fun doing that, riding carts in the parking lot. And we would we'd be in the back getting items in the back with large shelves that you'd sometimes need to climb up on, walk up on, and find items back there. We'd do that and sometimes spend a little too much time back there. We might be hard to find sometimes. We might be causing a ruckus or a little too mischievous sometimes. Some are shaking their heads in the audience. I know my mother is too, so just join her. But I kid you not, they had the worst of it was, they had a display in the center of the aisle that they had toilet paper, large, wrappings of toilet paper, and in this kind of bin that had a netting or a cage that it contained these, and you would pull those items, you'd pull the item from this spot at the bottom, like you've seen, they usually have in Walmart now large balls, and they'll have balls in this bin, and you kind of drag one out. Anyway. Well, you pull the toilet paper out from kind of waist level, but you stock it, I kid you not, it's 12, 15 feet high, the top of it. You stock it by tossing the toilet paper over the top. And the combination of my work ethic and my buddy at that time in our lives and that job was not a good combination at all. So I'm just trying to paint a mental picture for you of what slothful looks like. And the point I want to make is that we didn't care near enough about our job to do a good job. Should we have been better workers? Yes. Should we have had more maturity? Yes. Were we great employees? No. And so there came a point when I kind of received a message like, we're not going to be able to kind of bring you back on next semester, next year. We're not going to have a spot for you. And so it took me a while later, I looked back and realized they fired me. I got fired and didn't really even know it. Okay? Slothful. We are lazy about things we don't care much about. True? We are lazy about things we don't care much about. And Scripture tells us, here's our game plan. We cannot be lazy about being a Christian because that means we don't care much about it. That's exactly what that means. If I'm lazy in my Christian walk, if I'm lazy in my worship, if I'm lazy in my prayer life, if I'm lazy in my time in the Word of God, doesn't that reflect I don't care much? If I'm lazy in how I treat others in a Christ-like way, how I serve Christ, all those things, that's what it reflects. Now, be fervent in spirit. So we have a contrast here. Don't do this. Don't be lazy. Instead, be fervent in spirit. So let me give you another example of a kind of a contrasting example. Yesterday, I am cutting some firewood. True story. And so I have this chainsaw that I've obtained, and I like this chainsaw. It's the right size. It was a great price. It was cheap, just my kind of price. Used chainsaw, and yes, it ran when I bought it, and it's great. It cuts fine, and so everything's great about it until it doesn't run, and until it won't start. Then it's not great. So yesterday I'm ready. I'm all set up. I have everything needed, everything right. I'm ready to go. I'm ready to cut some wood and get this going, make some progress. And so I go to start it, won't start. Go start it, won't start. Pull on the chain, won't start. Wop, 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 wop. That's what it sounds like. Steve, you know that sound. Wop, 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 wop. Okay? And yes, I checked to see if I had fuel in it, because I made that mistake once. And yes, I checked to see if the ignition switch was on, because I made that mistake once. And yes, everything was right and ready to go, and it would not start. So I would pull on that thing, and I have to tell you, I've done it enough. I'm getting some strength built up in whatever the purpose is for this kind of motion, whatever I can do with that that's useful. I'm getting stronger with that because I pulled and pulled and pulled till I got out of breath, and I quit and tried to catch my breath and did, and then went back at it. And I did that numerous times. Numerous times. Until it finally started. And then I worked. And I even have something going on with my arm. My right arm kind of hurts, and my elbow and my shoulder, kind of along in this area, I have kind of pain that I'm fighting through. And of course, when I cut wood, it's a tiring job. I'm tired when I'm done. Why would you do so? Why would you go through that? Right? And the reason is I really, really wanted to cut this wood. I really wanted to do this. And so this is not rocket science or brain surgery. We understand things we really care about. Guess what? We are zealous about those. We're fervent. That means intense heat. We are on fire about things we really care about. So our game plan is passion. And this verse 11 tells us how to be in our attitude and how to be with our energy. Because we are to have an attitude that is, and that's the idea of a spirit. Be fervent in spirit. Our attitude should be passionate about God. And then our zeal, that's our energy. And so as Christians, we should look like some people who are pretty passionate about what we're doing. Passionate. Serving God. There's a great scripture in Ecclesiastes, and this is a book, if you've ever read Ecclesiastes, it's a book from Solomon, written by Solomon, and chapter 12, verse 13. So Solomon, in the book of Ecclesiastes, he talks about everything he chased, trying to find happiness. And Solomon lived his life just like we live ours, not much different than you and I. We pursue things that we enjoy. And Solomon did that, and he tried to find happiness in success, in projects, in building, in working, in women, in wine, in everything you can imagine. And it was empty. And he comes down to the final conclusion, chapter 12, verse 13. The end of the matter, all has been heard. Fear God and keep His commandments, for this is the whole duty of man. And it really matches this passage in Romans. Serve the Lord. That has to be our game plan. Serve God. Now, let's stop for a minute. What does that mean to serve God? Serve the Lord, bear in mind, Lord is... Let me back up just a second. So, Lord means master. Serve your master. And this is a picture of a slave and a master relationship. So the point is, be on, care about what you're doing here. That's our game plan. And then serve your master. So what plays are we going to run? Well, what plays do you want to run? What plays do you think might work? Let me take a couple steps further. What's your opinion on the current state of our nation? What's your opinion on our economy right now? What do you think about the next stimulus package? What do you think about, fill in the blank? And the truth is, in 2021, we live in a world, especially our society, that overvalues each individual's opinion. What is your opinion on something? If you want to experience something that's a little vain and misleading, post something on social media that's your opinion and get a bunch of people to agree with you, and you'll feel like your opinion really matters. Well, I don't find in Scripture where God says, tell me what you think how we ought to do this Christian life thing. I don't find where Jesus sat down with the disciples and said, really, guys, how do you think we ought to do this next part? But Scripture says, serve your master. Jesus calls the plays, you run the plays. That's it. That's how it works. And so we need some humility, don't we? We need some humility. in remembering, you know, what I want is really not near as important as what God wants. And what is God telling me here? We need to make an exchange. We need to replace, I think, and you can fill in the blank, whatever that is, replace that with, I know Scripture says. Chew on that one this week. How often is my attitude, well, I think what's wrong, you know, I think what would really help, let's replace that with, well, I know Scripture tells us. I know the Bible says. Because that's our game plan. We are followers of Christ. All right, how about this one? Rejoice in hope. Rejoice in hope. There's a passage just a little bit back in Romans. Romans 4:18 says, it tells us a little bit about what hope is. So it says, in hope he believed against hope that he should become the father of many nations, as he had been told, so shall your offspring be. And this is about Abraham, and it's about hope, and it's saying that, you know, God told him something that would come in the future, so he was hopeful about it, but guess what? It didn't look like it was going to happen, so he hoped against hope. It's the idea of being hopeful about something good in the midst of bad times. And that's what hope is about. In fact, hope is closely related to faith. Because it's us believing in something good that's coming in the future. A few years ago, Stephanie and I took our girls on a family vacation that would probably end up being, kind of a pinnacle point for us regarding vacations as a family. So we went on a cruise, and we drove down to New Orleans, about 13 hours, give or take, seems like 82-hour drive, and we did that in one day. And so three girls in the back, ages 6, 10, and 16, and it was a long day. And I remember during that drive, if you know, you have three kids in the back, did you know that they're not always getting along all the time? That sometimes somebody is in somebody's way, and somebody's stuff is where it should not go according to somebody that's in the back seat. And so you know what that's like, and that happened a number of times, but it really wasn't so discouraging to me. Why? In other words, if somebody told you tomorrow, I want you to get in your car and go drive for 13 straight hours, and when your gasoline tanks gets close to empty, go get some more gas and then go drive some more. I don't care where you drive, just go drive 13 hours and then come back. That would be an awfully miserable day. Right? But because of where we were headed, and because of what we were looking forward to, at least me, that this is not that bad. The drive down there was not that bad. Why? Because of one four-letter word called hope. When you're looking forward to something, and that's what this is about. Let me back up one. Rejoice in hope. How can you? Because hope is something you don't have yet. So how can you be happy about something you don't have yet? And the answer is, that's what hope is. You're thinking about it. You're looking forward to it. You're dreaming about it. You're hopeful about it. Philippians 3:20 reminds us our citizenship is in heaven. It's not here. We're passing through here. This is just the journey. How often do you think about heaven? That may be why, as Christians, we don't rejoice near enough. Because we're trying to do what Solomon did. We're trying to find our happiness here in this life, and God didn't set this life up following the Garden of Eden. This life is not a life that will fulfill us with happiness. And that's why hope is important. It's why it's important we remember we don't belong here. Be patient in tribulation. Be patient in tribulation. Romans 5:3 says, not only that, but we rejoice in our sufferings. Have you suffered in the past 12 months? Have you had any sufferings? Have you had any struggles? Have you had any difficulties? Had any frustrations? That one gets a lot. Have you rejoiced in those? Because suffering produces endurance. Have we gained any endurance in the past 12 months? Endurance produces character. Has our character grown? Has our character improved? Character produces hope. Hope does not put us to shame because God's love has been poured out into our hearts through the Holy Spirit whom He has given us. This passage talks about hope, talks about joy, it talks about God's love. This is a great passage of look, things are good, look how good you have it. And the passage is about during hard times. For the Christian, God is telling us, He tells us all through the Bible, and we are long to understand this and long to practice it. We don't get it, but God's trying to tell us, folks, you can be going through a difficult time and have joy if you find it in me. There's a test for patience, so be patient in tribulation. So to answer the question, have you or have I been patient in this tribulation we're going through? And the answer is, have you been complaining? Because complaining and patience don't go together. Those are one. That's the switch on the chainsaw is either on or the switch is off. It's not both. It's not on and off. We're either patient. I can't say, well, I've been real patient, you know, but I mean, I complain a fair amount too, to be quite honest with you. No, we're either patient or we're complaining. Something is either dry or it's wet. You're either here or you're there. Something's in, it's out. We're either complaining or we're being patient. Christians should be the salt of the earth right now. You know what? And the world that's struggling should be looking at Christians and asking us, how are you doing so okay during this time? How are you so okay right now? Why aren't you struggling more? So this is part of our game plan. Rejoice in hope. Be patient in tribulation. And then finally, be constant in prayer. Look, you remember Acts 2, verse 42. Acts 2, 42. Sorry, a little technical difficulty here. Bear with me. I'm going to let the sound guys do what they do, but I'm going to read Acts 2, 42. And they devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching and the fellowship, to the breaking of bread and the prayers. This is what the church, when it began in the early part of Acts, in Acts 2, this very chapter, we read about the church beginning and we read about what they focused on. This was their game plan. Their game plan is, listen, we're going to be focused on God's teaching. That's the apostles. They were inspired by God. We're going to focus on God's teaching, His plays. We're going to run them. We're going to focus on each other, fellowship. We're going to focus on communion, that's breaking of bread. And fourthly, their game plan was, we're going to pray a lot. We're going to pray early. We're going to pray often. We're going to pray a lot. Sometimes a prayer leader will pray longer than you wish, and we need to grow some in that. When someone prays longer than you want to, I'm not encouraging longer prayers. I'm saying the flesh is weak, the spirit is willing. That's what Jesus said to His disciples in the garden when they fell asleep, and they should have been watching. Our flesh is weak. Guess what? Flesh needs to get stronger. Spirit is willing. It needs to say, flesh, come on, let's get it. Let's get stronger. I cut wood yesterday way beyond when my flesh wanted to. Why? Because I cared about it. I desired it. And how much do we desire God? Our prayer life will reflect that. Recently, I had a sermon I was working on, and I've done this through the years. I'm very blessed as a preacher to have a very wise and knowledgeable preacher closely related to me that is further down the road than I am, that guess what, he knows a lot more than I do about Scripture. And so in my time as a minister, numerous times I would call him and say, Dad, what in the world does this mean? Or, you know, tell me what's going on here, or can you help me figure out this, whatever it is, about Scripture. So recently I did that. I had a sermon I was working on, and there was something I was trying to figure out. I knew it would take a little research to find it, And I actually outsourced that to my dad. I knew that he would not mind doing that. I knew he had a little time to do that, and I was glad to know that he didn't just know the answer. It did take him a little bit to do that. And so I called him and asked him. Now, I contrast that with Abigail, who's 15, recently had a problem with her in her calculus class, and she, I think it was calculus, might have been trigonometry, one of those classes, something that sounds real smart, and she didn't understand something. She was going to ask her sister when her sister had availability to come and help her figure that out. She did not ask me for help with that question. She didn't ask me. Why? Because she was confident that I would not know the answer. She was confident that I would not be able to help her with that problem. And guess what? She was right. And my point is, sometimes when we don't pray as much, I wonder, is it because we don't think God will do much? If you don't think someone can help you, you don't ask them. Contrarily, when you think someone can help you, like when I asked my dad for help, I knew he could help me. I asked him. I didn't hesitate. I knew he was willing. I knew he could. I knew he would have some time. And I asked him. When we don't pray to God more, when we don't ask God more, is it because deep down we don't think God's going to do a whole lot? We don't think He's going to do a whole lot. And if that is true with you, I encourage you to change that. Grow your faith. You need to realize that when we pray, we don't need to pray small prayers. Don't ask God for a little. Don't insult Him. He's the creator of the universe. Remember who you're talking to. When you pray to God, ask Him for a lot. Ask Him for a lot. And your wisest request is, God, do it your way. Because God's way is far superior to our way. I've seen more happen and more accomplished through prayer than any efforts of any people. Ever. I've seen more happen through prayer. And so our game plan has to be a people who pray, and pray some more. Game plan. One thing, I'll kind of close with this. You know, a game plan in sports is relatively, it's relatively easy to develop a game plan. And then when the team, you know, the teams, they run out of the locker rooms and they run onto the field like a football team, and they come out and they're jumping around. I mean, they're energetic. They're ready to go, right? Ready to run through a wall. And the game plan's easy when you start the game. It's easy. Let's do it. Let's run it. When it gets difficult is when the team faces adversity. It's when the team starts to lose, when the points start to pile up on the opponent's scoreboard. And that's when the team says, maybe we need to ditch this game plan. This doesn't seem to be working. And commentators will say sometimes, they'll say, you know, they really need to stay with what they're doing, with what they're trying to do here. Don't give up on that. And as Christians, I would ask you the question, as Christians, when you became a Christian, when you had your sins washed away, you were fired up for God. You were, I'm ready, God, I'll do it. My whole life is yours, let's go. When times get hard, how do we do with our game plan? Are we still patient? Are we still passionate for God? Are we still praying? Are we still serving our Master and doing it His way? Are we still asking Jesus, Jesus, how should I deal with this person right now? Right? Because are we still looking to Scripture for God's guidance? Stay with the game plan, church. So I hope this is some value to you today. Let's bow before God and have a prayer and ask for His direction on this. God, we come to You and we want to pray a prayer in which we confess. We confess we have been weak for the times that we've been weak, and instead of doing things Your way and the way of our Master, Your Son Jesus, we do things our way. And we pray You forgive us for that. If there's any way in our life that we're living contrary to You, we pray a prayer right now and that You would help us to change that, that we would repent and change our life and live for You. We pray about Your Word that tells us, even just like today in two verses, we see what we need to do and focus on and how we need to live. And we pray that every day we are passionate about your work and you and doing your will and letting our light shine for you. Help us to be passionate. Help us to be patient. Help us to be prayerful. Help us to be hopeful and to think more about the day that we can be with you. We have a world right now, God, as you know, they're worried about dying. Help us to show them the answer. We are the ones with the answer. And the answer is you and salvation in your Son. And we pray all this in His name. Amen.